The Holy Gospel for tonight is taken from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. John.
So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and flocks drank from it?"
Jesus said to her,
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Jesus said to her,
"Go, call your husband and come back."
The woman answered him,
"I have no husband."
Jesus said to her,
"You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
Jesus said to her,
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
The woman said to him,
"I know that the Messiah is coming,
who is called Christ.
When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
Jesus said to her,
"I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said,
"What do you want?"
or,
"Why are you speaking with her?"
Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, but he said to them,
"I have food to eat that you do not know about."
So the disciples said to one another,
"Surely no one has brought him something to eat."
Jesus said to them,
"My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for the harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman,
"It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
Holy wisdom.
Holy word.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.
I will never forget that day. It was hot, unbearably hot, as if the gates of Sheol had opened and threatened to devour us. I went to the well as I always did, when the sun was high and the shadows were non-existent, because that was the time all respectable women were at home taking their midday nap. Somehow, along the journey of life, I lost a sense of who I am. Now I am an outcast. I didn't ask for that. My life did not unfold the way I had always dreamed it would. You see, my parents became very ill and died just after I had been given in marriage. And that was the beginning of my misfortune. But that's another story. Although there was a well closer to town, I always drew water from Jacob's well. There was something special about that well. As I throw my bucket deep into the well and draw the water back up, I pray. I pray that if God could forgive Jacob, maybe God could look deep within my heart and offer me some forgiveness too. That day I saw him there. I felt his eyes watching me as I came to the well. He already knew what kind of woman I was. Everyone knew. He was a Jew, a rabbi. I could tell by what he wore, and I could tell by his face that he was from Jerusalem. I wanted to look at him. Okay, if I'm honest, I really wanted to stare at him because we had so few Jewish people from Jerusalem come through Samaria. The Judeans go to great lengths to avoid Samaria, and if they ever do come through our country, they certainly don't come through my little town because they think that we're inferior. And even worse than that, traitors. You see, the king of Assyria many years ago was very shrewd. When he conquered Samaria, he sent many different people to come and live with us because he knew that if we were not united, that we couldn't rebel against him. Many of our men died in the war. So naturally, the women took husbands from people of different cultures. Our customs, our religions became intermingled because that brought us peace and harmony. But the Jews in Judea would have nothing to do with us. We were polluted, defiled, idol worshippers, traitors to God. They would not even let us help them rebuild the temple. Those walls of hatred between us are thick. So as I came to the well, I turned my back on him. I could trust no man, especially him. He asked me for a drink, and I froze. I thought for sure that it was a trick. He shouldn't be speaking to me. He knew that. So I ignored him. Then he asked me again, and I could tell by the way his voice sounded that he was really thirsty. His clothes were covered in dust. I tried to curb my tongue, but life has given me a hard edge. My words came out a little biting. How is it that you, a Jewish man, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Immediately, I wished I hadn't said that, or at least I hadn't said it quite in that way. Threw my bucket into the well. I untied the cup that I carry around my waist, and I gave him a drink of water. As I handed him the cup, I could not look at him. I turned my face away, half expecting him to throw it back in my face for being so disrespectful. I felt his eyes watching me as he drank deeply. Then he held out the cup and he said, "May I have some more, please?" So as I filled up that cup the second time, he told me that if I knew who he was, that I would be asking him for a drink of living water. His voice was gentle, but I laughed. I couldn't help myself. I mean, who did he think he was? Did he think that just because he was from Judea, that he had a well that was better than our ancestor Jacob's well? He told me that if I would let him give me this water, that I would never be thirsty. And I laughed again because he didn't even have a cup. So I teased him. "Give me that water so I don't have to walk here to this well in this burning sun each and every day." I looked at him, but he wasn't laughing. His eyes caught mine. And it was almost as if his eyes looked right through me. He told me to get my husband and come back. I could not look at him anymore because I had no husband. You see, my first husband dismissed me after my father died because my father hadn't finished paying my dowry. I had no brothers to help, and since I had bore him no children, let alone any sons, he could dismiss me, and he did. And once dismissed, it became very easy for men to continue to dismiss me again and again. There comes a time when you just have to say, enough is enough. I vowed that I would never again be publicly disgraced with a divorce. So the man I'm with now, I didn't marry. If he wants to dismiss me, he can just leave quietly. I don't want to stand before the townspeople again and be humiliated. Well, he was still looking at me. My hands were shaking, and I told him, "I have no husband." And his words cut me in two. He knew I had no husband. He knew I had had five husbands, and that the man I was with was not my husband. I felt ashamed, and that pain and that agony of all those years, all those tears just welled up inside me. Yet I was determined that I wasn't going to let this foreigner humiliate me. My face was burning and my lips were trembling. And I looked him in the eye. But his eyes held no judgment. It was like his eyes were a window to his heart and to mine. There was no condemnation. I only saw compassion, kindness, forgiveness, and love. I had to step back and I thought, who is this man? Who is this man? He invited me to sit down. We talked some more. We talked about the differences between the Jews in Judea and the Jews in Samaria. We talked about God and worship. We talked about prayer and life. Never before had I ever had a conversation like this with anyone, let alone a Jewish rabbi. My heart was burning inside me, and I wanted to know more. I told him I couldn't wait for the Messiah to come to finally make all these things right. To make everything right. To explain everything. To make people like me whole again. Then he said, I am the Messiah. And I stared at him in disbelief. Yet I couldn't deny that hope that was burning within me. And then we were startled by a group of men who approached us, and they began rebuking him for talking to me. But I didn't care. I just kept staring at him, not knowing whether I should laugh or cry, if I should fall to my knees, or if I should jump for joy. As the men continued to argue amongst themselves, I ran back to the village, telling everyone about this man. Come and meet him. Come and see. A group of people followed me back to the well and then invited him and his friends to stay with us. And as we were walking back to town, he turned to me and he laughed and he said, you asked me for living water. Now look at you. Look at you. You are like a fountain springing forth with water of new life, a new hope. And then he did something I will never forget. He put his hand on my shoulder and he said to me, your faith has saved you. You are forgiven. You are a loved child of God. All those years when the sun was high in the sky, burning down upon me, and the shadows were non-existent. All those years I cried and I prayed at Jacob's well. Look into my heart, God. Look into my heart. Now I know. I know God hears our prayers. God hears even the loneliest prayers of our broken hearts. People may forsake us, but God never does. God takes our dried up spirits and fills us with living water. Our sins are forgiven, and we are loved children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.